I always teach people, you know, curiosity. Curiosity is the cure for everything. Look at it. It's got the word cure in it, right?
I never realized that.
I didn't either. I'm going to have to write that down and use that all the time right here on this podcast.
You're listening to the Real Business Connections Network.
Real Business Connections Network.
Powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. Subscribe now and check us out at realbusinessconnections.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome, everyone, to Learn, Speak, Teach, powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. If you love to learn, be inspired, and succeed, we're here to speak and teach. I'm your host, Ben Albert. I believe if you're not living, you're dying. If you're not growing, you're withering. And if you're not engaged, you can turn this off right now. Because we here at LST are lifelong learners. And listen, I'm not your guru. I'm an ordinary guy on a journey to learn from the experts. My goal is to host each conversation with a beginner's mindset, learn, and let the experts speak and teach their truths. Join us! Oh yeah, and don't forget to subscribe. This episode is brought to you completely free. Get some stake in the game here. My fee for the show only takes a few moments. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Bonus points. Please leave us a review on Apple, Google Podcasts, or anywhere you listen to the show. All right, let's get started. Welcome, everyone, once again to Learn, Speak, Teach on the Real Business Connections Network. I'm excited for this conversation today, and I'm just literally going to lead with like all my pains and my woes and my vulnerability. But simply put, since COVID, I've won 10x on my business. I've won 20x on self-study. I've won 50x on content. And I genuinely have like went negative 5x on health. And I've done a lot of mindset, but the body is someplace I've been struggling. And a lot of us are working remote. A lot of us are working from home. So we're stressed and this and that. That's exactly why I asked our guest today, Andrea Marcellus, to come on the show. Andrea, how are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you? Oh, I just found out how you are.
Well, here's the thing. I've never felt better. And you can even hear the uncertainty in my voice. I've never felt better, but I know when I look at myself in the mirror and when I weigh myself and when I do exercises that I have a higher capacity than where I am right now. And I'm busy and I do feel stressed at times. That's exactly why I and the listener basically want you on the show, because you're a fitness and well-being expert. You're an author, at one point an actress. You specialize in practical fitness and mental well-being strategies for busy, unmotivated, or overwhelmed people like myself. And your mission is to help anyone climb out from under your to-do list to discover what they're truly capable of becoming and have the time to make it happen. So, to get started, you and I joked about you have like a big, hairy, audacious goal. Can we start there? What is your mission? What is your goal? Why are we here?
I try to give myself a number so I can actually break it down, but I'm trying to honestly lift the lives through physical and mental well-being of over 1 million people within 2 years. And I actually think that number might be low, considering what I have, the tools I've created and what I have available and the partnerships I'm creating to make that happen. So, but really, I'm deeply concerned about the obesity epidemic in America and the mental well-being epidemic in America. And I would love to be able to be part of cutting that obesity epidemic, at least, because that's a little more measurable than mental well-being, but be part of cutting that in half in like 5 years. Like, just give yourself a big goal. But my strategies are so doable, so gentle, and so customized. It's a pathway to discover what works best for you within your lifestyle. and that's why it works and that's why it lasts, that I feel like, you know what, we can do this. And I'm interested in the ripple effect. Just think about when you have a day where you feel good physically, you feel energized, and when you're in a very positive place mentally, every person you talk to, every interaction you have, that's the energy you feed into that person. People mirror each other. So that person can't help but be lifted by you. And then that's what they put forward for a bit, you know, and my feeling is like, wow, if I can get more people feeling better, the ripple effect of each of those individuals, it will create this like exponential improvement in well-being that will help lift this country and then hopefully, you know, have an international effect. So that's my big, hairy, audacious goal. And I feel like it's totally doable.
It's doable. It's international. Amen to that. And I can be one of the million, but I can also be part of that ripple, right? Where 100%. Together, I mean, let's make a 10. So let's slow down because I want to get into tangible stuff, but I do want to provide context for the listener as to who you are. I mean, I read a quick bio that's just kind of like a couple bullet points. You have this big goal and you're going to accomplish it. What led you to this point, though? Did you fall on your face at all? And why is this so important to you?
Oh, I feel like I live on my face. You know, I'm not even supposed to be here like this. Honestly, I went to NYU for acting. I'm supposed to be a star. Like, honestly, I got into fitness just after an accident in college. And I just wanted to feel better. I wanted to feel strong. So I kind of ended up teaching myself how to teach by going to classes of two particular teachers in New York at a studio. And I became, I don't know, I just enjoyed that like, wow, you can go out in the day and like feel good yourself and give other people a boost. Like, what a great little career. And, you know, so I just got certified to teach fitness classes, which I would do like before and after a corporate job and auditioning and stuff. This is after college. Like, it was just a sideline. It was just for fun. It was just for me. And it became an honest passion. And I definitely, I failed at 1,000 things, and I had a kind of difficult circumstances growing up. So what's really interesting is I developed these incredible stress management skills. And when you pair that with fitness, this has been my journey in fitness. When you put that all together, wow, do you set yourself up with what I call a self-care scaffolding that makes it so you can be at your best and do your best no matter what life throws at you. So, you know, that's kind of been my journey.
Self-care scaffolding. I almost couldn't get it right out. Define what that is. Let's get a little more microscopic on how we develop a self-care scaffolding.
Right. So we have habits. You know, you brush your teeth, you put your shoes on, you tie your shoes. Like, if we can make self-care practices, like, and I don't mean, you know, often self-care gets, it turns into this thing that are actually numbing behaviors. Like, self-care is a manicure. Self-care is sitting in front of Netflix. Self-care is, you know, the glasses of wine I have at night. Self-care is, you know, if we can shift this idea of self-care from being a spa vacation to, hey, I eat this particular breakfast, one of these two choices, because they start me off with energy. I've learned that about my body, that these kind of things energize me the most. And I know I'm ticking these nutritional boxes. All right, I figured out what those things are. I can move on in life. That's like one rung, you know, like, oh, if I can do this five minute workout at 2 o'clock every day, just 5 minutes at my desk, not only do I give myself a physical boost, that actually shifts my brain. It literally oxygenates and reframes my brain. Like, so you just build things in. If I can turn this little habit in the day, the way I water my plants, into a ritual, that will actually, you know, a signal to my central nervous system to drop down a couple notches, and I will have each basically, you know, without having to set aside extra time in my day, a moment where I'm definitely reframing my brain to just kind of rid it of some burdens and some stress and stress response. Chronic stress response is what we're really after, things that drive inflammation that really tear the body down. So this is what I mean. It's like practical little strategies that make it very easy to level up your well-being in little bits, like when you don't even notice throughout the day. That's what I specialize in. And that's how people get there.
The practical little strategies. So let's transform today. I don't want this to be motivational. I want it to be transformational. So there's two parts. In a moment, I kind of want to hear tactically, like where exactly I and the listener, like where every individual can start. Before we talk about where exactly to start, give me a little peace of mind that I can do it in the first place. Because if I never even start, it's never going to get done. So motivate me. I know this is like the most open-ended question ever, but motivate me to get started and then tell me how.
Okay. Well, I'm going to give you the best motivation of all. We're going to go back to, has Andrea fallen on her face? Here's the biggest face fall professionally as a trainer. Now, imagine as an actress and a screenwriter, I did lots of them. So we'll skip that. But as a fitness professional, I've done this 30 years now. The first 16 years of my career, I did everything you and every listener here thinks you need to do to be fit. When we decide we're okay, I'm going to do it now. These are the things we do. We do kind of grueling workouts. We think they need to be somewhere between 45 minutes and 60 minutes, or they don't really matter. They don't count, right? It's not enough. We do something funky with our food. We either we start calorie counting. We like, you know, basically whittle ourselves down to some sort of math equation, or we do paleo, or we do keto, or we like scroll Instagram and we buy some supplement that's suddenly going to just, you know, fix the flora in your gut and, you know, metabolize everything.
I do a lot of that.
I told you for 16 years, so did your friend on the other side of the screen here. So, okay. So I did all those things. Now I'm teaching between 8 and 15 classes a week. Plus I have private clients. Plus I'm working out myself. I was living at the beginning of that in New York City where you're walking everywhere, you know, like I gained 25 pounds. I was 25 pounds heavier than I am now. I was hungry. I was exhausted. I was sore all the time. And I was living what I call a no thank you lifestyle, which is, you know, oh, I can't eat that. No, I want to eat this. Oh, I have an audition tomorrow. I can't. Oh, no, I got to. But the thing was, even if I could get sort of toward close to this goal weight I had for myself, I was really white knuckling it to get there. I had to be perfect at all of these things to get there. And when I was honest with myself, that was the same with my clients. You know, they could get kind of towards where their goal weight. And then, but everybody was holding on so tight because we were living these lifestyles that were like prescriptive, like you need to do all these things. Well, I finally got to a point where I was having a new client. It was a celebrity. I mean, I care about everybody, but, and you know, this was a guy that I personally knew his wife very well. I cared very much. And so I was like, okay, I got to make a great program for him. And I remember staring at the wall and going, this does not work. Calorie counting does not work. Mm-hmm. These grueling workout regimens do not work. Like unless you are in kind of a lab circumstance, unless your life is a lab circumstance where we can be precise and exact all the time, this doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Right. So what I did was I was like, threw caution to the wind. And I said, I'm going to do the opposite. I'm going to guinea pig myself and literally do the opposite. I'm miserable. And I'm tired of saying no, thank you. I'm tired of not eating pasta. I'm tired of not, you know, just not really enjoying my life. Like this is getting me nowhere and I'm not happy. Okay. So what did I do? I literally dialed it down to 20-minute workouts. That's the bar now. I started eating all the foods just in a particular strategy, which was more about portions and schedule. I literally spent more time just standing and walking. I figured out what my life is really about and kept that why at the front and center all the time and had more fun. And guess what? I shrunk. I went not even hit that goal weight, so far below it. I'm like, oh my goodness gracious. So I codified this. And with my clients that could let go, of everything your message do you need to do out there. And they're making a lot of money with these messages, you know, and selling you all this stuff. You can let go of that. You know, my clients, they could, they shrunk too. And I started to codify that. That was about 14 years ago. I did that just with my one-on-one clients here in Los Angeles, and for quite a while, turn it sort of into a system. And then I had an opportunity to actually make it into a business that scaled through investment. So I then was able to make an app, and I wrote a book on the methodology of it. And, you know, now there's online course and there's this, that, and the other thing. And that was the journey. But the journey was really like, oh my goodness, health and well-being that lasts is so much easier to attain than I ever thought, and that any of you think. And that is the message I cannot wait to get out in the world with the biggest microphone I can find.
It's easier to obtain than we even think.
100%.
You mentioned a book, a virtual training app, all this stuff. Yeah. This is for the multitaskers. No one, don't turn this off yet. We're not over. But how do we learn more if we want to pop open a tab and take a look at it? Where would I go?
Right now you go to andlife.com, and as in Andrea, life as in your life, andlife.com. And then the thing to check out is the Shape Up Body and Mind program. So when I started this business, again, talk about falling on your face. I fell on my face every year of this business. Every year I missed my business plans every year, because we started out building an app, and then we start, you know, then we launch a book, and then we do this and that. I thought I was going to sell these individual products. And as it turns out, as much as I try to make something in this business that extricates me from it, you know what I mean? It isn't relying on me. The fact is, what people want right now is guidance. They want a guide. They want a Sherpa. You know, they want a hero. They want someone who is literally in their shoes, walking the walk that they could just walk behind. I'm with the machete in the rainforest. You know, I'm cutting the path for you. Like, just come follow me. It's much easier, right?
Yeah.
And that's what they want. So it took me literally, it's been like 4 years now, and I finally put this all together in a program the way I would do workshops. And so now the Shape Up Body Mind program is one-on-one support in addition to all the tools I've made. So people still go and buy the random tools, and you can just go get the app, or you can whatever. But really, what the thing to do is to like have a call with me, tell me where you're headed, find out what your life is actually like, because the genius of the program is it's customized for every individual. There are guideposts, but what it is a discovery process. How does your life actually look? What are your preferences? How can we adjust them to be more beneficial for you? Or how can we leave them alone and just adjust the program? So like, you never give up pizza if it's your favorite thing. You never give up wine every night like me. Like we incorporate those things so that the program lasts. So that's kind of in a nutshell, but you can go get more information.
Yeah, incorporating something that's tailored for you. Let's not obviously go through the entire program. This isn't about me. It's for every single listener, so I don't want to get too personal. Well, it's for anybody. Give us a little nibble, and we're not going to count calories here, so the nibble can be as large as you want. Give us a little nibble, like where I can start.
I'll give you a great one, okay? Please. Like, here's the thing. Tell me, what meal do you think is the most important meal of the day if you're trying to lose weight? You have 10 pounds you want to lose, or 50 pounds you want to lose, whatever it is. What is the most important meal of the day?
I'd say lunch. Second answer, breakfast.
Right.
Is it dinner?
No, it's the afternoon snack.
Oh, is that a meal?
Right. So here's the thing. If you are eating an afternoon snack that has protein and or beneficial fat, what that does is it tees you up for the rest of the night. Where people, what the tendency with people is, I was good. I hate the words good and bad, but you know, good in air quotes. I was good all day. And then we get home and we get into those soothing behaviors. Okay. We have to attack those soothing behaviors in a bunch of different ways. That's why stress management is so important. The brain training is so important. But one of the biggest ways is to make sure you never get to dinner hungry. And just by having a really high quality, real food afternoon snack, like something you would have eaten for dinner the night before or the rest of your lunch, like a good, you know, something that's a protein and beneficial fat, you'll find that you don't overeat at dinner. And then when you do eat in front of the TV or whatever else at night, like if you're just being, you're paying attention to it, we do have to pay attention, but if you're paying attention, you'll go, wow, I'm actually full. Like I don't, you'll stop yourself. You are far more likely to help break that habit if you went into the evening not famished, where now it just becomes about soothing, soothing, soothing.
I love this. And it's hilarious because I specifically don't snack. Like I specifically do not snack, and possibly incorporating a healthy, high protein snack is actually beneficial. I thought it would be potentially not beneficial because I'd end up eating more.
Right. That's, it feels antithetical. Absolutely. And you know, it's just that it's actually the opposite. And it's, and just think about it this way. You're caring for yourself. You're, every time you care for yourself, your brain releases dopamine. Now that I told you the benefit of it and you make an intention to do this, every time you do it, the brain releases dopamine for achievement. So not only are you getting the physical benefit of that food, but you're also getting a mental lift as well. And that's what we're setting ourselves up for. Honestly, so much of the program is about these four happy hormones we have available in our brain, you know, to access at any time. It's ways to strategically get those hormones firing out all the time to keep us at a hormonal advantage. And the other thing is to put strategies in place that shut down our amygdala. When we get stressed, the amygdala in the brain starts shooting out adrenaline and cortisol. The cortisol is, everybody on this call already knows, like everybody listening to this knows, cortisol essentially slows down your metabolism, right? And the adrenaline, the effect that has is that it, we are so bad at being uncomfortable. You can't, people can't sit without looking at their phone, me included, you know, for 3 seconds. Like it's, you have to be like mindful to go, no, I'm not going to just fill my brain with images at this moment, right? You're like, it's, we're really bad at just discomfort. So in the case of the amygdala or chronic stress, you know, it's shooting out adrenaline that is getting us to make short-term decisions to soothe us, to make us feel more comfortable in any given circumstance. When it's the end of the day, that soothing is, I'm exhausted from the day, I'm exhausted from the profession, the pressure of the day, I need to soothe. Our jaw and our vagus nerve are soothing, just from a baby sucking on a pacifier. Well, as adults, that's us eating potato chips in front of TV. It's still a soothing mechanism, right? Or just the feeling of fullness in our stomach, we start to, as a baby, you know, associate with soothing, right? So, you know, it's just things in the day to shut off the amygdala, to like kind of short circuit it for a minute, to reduce chronic stress. So not only are reducing inflammation in the body, which is tearing us down on a cellular level, but it's also going to prevent the need for those soothing behaviors, for those habits, and allow space to put some beneficial habits in their place.
My mind's blown. And I just realized something, Andrea. So
what's that?
Part of what I love about doing this podcast is, out of totally being present and respect out of my guest, I do not touch my phone for an hour straight. I, just before we jumped on this call, was playing basketball. I love to play alone and kind of just be in my own thoughts and myself. I think part of why is not just the, I mean, I love basketball, but part of it is I'm detached from my phone for an hour straight. Those are just two things I do. What are some other ways that we can detach and really focus on ourselves?
Oh, it's such a great question. It's amazing that you do that and you carve out that time for yourself. I'm CEO of a company. I have 2 kids. I have pets. I have a husband. I have, like, I mean, oh my goodness. I don't have time. Like, I feel like I don't have extra time. Like, I actually, you know, my personal growth is like more time for my hobbies and things like that. You know, like we all have our spaces, but for me, you know, what those are rituals for you. There, that basketball is a ritual for you in a way, right? So it's a place where you're bouncing a ball. Your only job in life for that moment is to get a ball in a hoop, and it's cool. And it's, and there's an instant dopamine reward every time you get the ball in, you know? And so it's a really great example. If somebody can't take the time to go out and shoot a few hoops, you can take something you already do in the day and ritualize that process. So, and what I'm saying about the basketball is that it tells your brain you're in safe harbor in that moment. There's not going to be this influx of information from your phone that is more than our prefrontal cortex was designed to take in. You're giving yourself that break. I give myself that break, but in like 2 minute increments in the day. And one is when I make a Keurig coffee. That Keurig machine makes so many sounds. I like sounds. It's just me. Like if I go to get a facial, I like the sounds of the things like more than I even like the facial. Like there's them doing stuff. So the Keurig, right?
We could do a whole podcast on that.
I know. I discovered this about myself. It's bizarre. But anyway, whatever. You take what interests you, right? So I take that Keurig time and it's become my ritual. There's no phone. There's no nothing. And I listen to every sound that machine makes, the pop when that like little Keurig pod pops. It starts with that. And it's almost like, oh, like my body knows this is my time. And then I listen to every sound. It takes like 90 seconds or something. The Keurig used to, like, I'm so impatient, take too long for me. Now it's awesome. Now it's like, but I've just brought attention to that. And what happens is because I do it every day, because I just breathe. The only job I have in that moment is to breathe and listen to every sound. I'm activating senses. I'm including oxygen in the process, breath in the process. What this is doing is activating positive brain centers to accomplish that intense listening plus breath. It activates your cerebellum, your hippocampus, your prefrontal cortex. For those to be active, your brain can't multitask. It shuts off the amygdala in your brain. So it's that same sort of a process we were talking about before, a way to shut that off. And because I practice this over and over again, it becomes a ritual. It becomes something my brain and body recognize as safe harbor, as a time when I do not need any protection. The amygdala is a protective device, right? Well, every time I do that and I just pay attention, my body knows, oh, she's in safe harbor now. Immediately, you can feel your central nervous system like, okay, you just drop a couple notches. You can feel it. I am a different person at the end when I make that coffee than at the beginning. And that's what I'm talking about, a very simple way where you just take something you're already doing. I didn't add any time onto my day or my schedule. I didn't have to bust out the call map and like find 15 minutes to kumbaya with my thoughts. Like I just made a coffee, but I made it with intention. I do the same thing with watering my plants. I have a certain pitcher I use, takes two pitchers to do it. And in that time, I do nothing but really pay attention to those, you know, 15 plants. And it's the same thing. So I have two breaks every day that are things I have to do anyway. And that's what I'm talking about, a self-care scaffolding, stuff that you don't even expect, but that you can make more out of that really help reframe your brain.
I like this self-care scaffolding, taking the time to pay attention, do it with intention. Mm-hmm. You're better afterwards. One random example that's coming up, and I'd love for you to riff on this if you have any thoughts. And it was Dan Harris, the 10% Happier podcast, and Anderson Cooper was on. So Dan Harris, he's a news anchor. Anderson Cooper, he's also a news anchor. They both live very stressful lives. And Anderson Cooper, and add this to the show notes. For this show notes writer, add that in so people can check that out. Great podcast. He was talking about, Anderson Cooper was talking about, he doesn't have time to meditate, but when he eats, he doesn't touch electronics.
Right.
And he just eats his food.
Well, guess what? That's a meditation. So, and that's exactly what I'm talking about. So what I, in my program, teach people to do is actually make themselves a lunch, whatever that is, or if they, you know, if you're not somewhere like, well, you food prep it, but every time you make food, to make that an experience. Like, so you're activating your senses. You can turn food preparation, and all my recipes are under 5 minutes. They're for busy people. Like, you know, like they're superfoods. I've done all the work for you. You don't need to like try to figure out what to eat. I tell you, you know, like here, they're all superfoods. They all level you up. But the important thing is the brain part of it, where just slicing a little tomato or just doing this or just doing that, just focusing on that food preparation, that becomes a meditation. The way he's just eating, and literally he smells the food, he tastes the food, anything that activates your senses, and where that's all you're doing, guess what? You're breathing and just observing, breathing and observation. Guess what? That's a meditation. The end. That's awesome.
The end. I feel my dopamine's up. I want another nibble. I wrote this down. I actually don't know what it means. I do this once in a while. I write something down and I don't actually go deep enough to know what it means. I wrote down, live the rule of awesome.
Oh, I knew you were going to go there. I'm psychic too. No.
Live the rule of awesome. What does this mean?
Awesome is one of my best game-changing life strategies. Everybody is going to adopt this right now, today. Anybody listening, it's going to be a game changer. And it's really, you're going to level up. Okay, the rule of awesome is super simple. If it's not awesome, don't do it. Now, it sounds really flip and trite. Let's just think about it for a second. Let's apply it to your food. It is one of the things I give people in my program. So, you know, we have the holidays coming up. So, you know, you go and there's somebody's going to offer you pie, a brownie or whatever. There's this, that, the other thing. I don't know. Christmas cookies, you know, holiday parties. There's all sorts of stuff. So somebody gives you a brownie. Take a bite of the brownie. And then you decide right then and there, is this awesome? If it is not awesome, you're going to fold it up in a napkin and give it to a child because they'll eat anything, or
true,
or throw it out or whatever, right? But the thing is, you're not going to do that. You're going to go get something else, or you're just going to wait, or maybe that one bite was satisfying. You've had enough, like whatever. Here's the thing, you know, obviously you're saving yourself calories, you know, by not eating. If you just took a year of where I'm not eating the cold French fries, just because that chicken nugget's still there, but it was there 2 hours ago. Like, you know, we pass by food all the time, put it in our mouth. That if we just eliminated that, yeah, you drop pounds there, but it's a bigger thing. If it is a practice of discernment, it's a practice of worth. So every time you eat, you label a food as good or bad, right? You are, in essence, telling yourself you're good or bad for eating it. What we choose and what we say matters, right? So that's why we want to eliminate this idea of good or bad with foods. It wants to be either it's beneficial or less beneficial, and we eat all of them, you know, fine. In terms of rule of awesome and in terms of food, if you are choosing of your social foods, of these less beneficial foods, only things that are awesome, you are sending yourself a signal of your own worth, that you are only worth the most awesome things. Like, otherwise you'll wait because they're not good enough for you. And that's something as a practice that levels up your confidence and also just creates this unshakable sense of self that is now what you exude out into the world. It is self-respect personified, self-respect put into action. And it's amazing. So if you think about this in terms of your clothes or your closet, if you go through your closet and you put things on, and when you put it on, it does not energize you. It doesn't make you feel powerful. It doesn't make you feel like what you're wearing matches the quality of who you are in terms of your thinking and your heart. Give that outfit away. Like, get rid of it. Only wear things. And I'm not saying they need to be designer stuff. It's whatever for you. If, you know, your old Rolling Stones t-shirt makes you feel awesome and powerful and energizes you. This is about generating energy. You keep that shirt, you wear that shirt because that shirt's you. You know what I'm saying? But apply the rule of awesome to your closet, because every time we go through our closet and we get dressed and it's the pants that don't button or the thing that I'll fix it, you know, oh, maybe when I lose 5 pounds. No, those things chip away at your soul. We don't need any of that. They don't generate energy. So get rid of those things. And when it comes to social occasions or stuff, look, I don't want to go to your candle party. Like, I don't want to, like, yeah. you know, yeah. these things are not, they feel like a drain on me. I don't feel comfortable there. I don't want to, I just don't, that's not what I want to do with my time. And I have a fear of not having enough time, you know? So like, I don't do things that now are not on my personal time that feel obligatory or aren't going to generate energy in me, feel like they're going to sap. So energy is the line. Awesome means it generates energy in you. It generates joy. And so if you start to choose joy, you're choosing awesome in everything, that your life will level up exponentially and you will lose weight. And you will lose weight.
Well, I love this. I mean, coming from the perspective of I'm a very minimalist male. So I have like 10 versions of the same black t-shirt. I have multiple versions of the same brand and size of jeans because I just feel incredible in it. And I've realized that it doesn't actually make me feel any better. It's not a significant net positive, but it's by no means a net negative. And then there's things like watches. And I like collecting shoes. Those are massive net positives. So me personally, my t-shirt and my jeans, it's pretty uniform, but I'm comfortable in it. And then I find different accessories that really light me up. But it's uncommon that you actually open up like my shelf, my drawers, that you'll find something that I just like don't like.
So it's that's fantastic. You actually,
I didn't even realize I was doing it.
Right. And then and the other benefit of what you've done and where I'm trying to go with people, because especially women, they have a ton of stuff in their closet they never wear. When you go to your closet in the day, it really should be that simple. Like now you have basically, I wear this shirt and these pants. Like, okay, that's fine. But for everybody, it should be that. It should be just a question of color and like the shape of the outfit for women, I guess, more than men. But that's it. That all of it feels just like you said, comfortable, exactly you. You feel great. And then you have little accessories that light you up. But that's exactly the point. And what we've done is eliminated decisions in the day. The paradox of choice is the more choices we have, the more stress we have. Mm. By eliminating decisions, these micro decisions in the day are killing us, you know, and by eliminating those, by making your closet spare, it is really just everything here I love. I'm just going to pick, I just want to wear this color today. Okay, great. That eliminates a whole waste of time in life plus added stress level.
It does. Let's talk a little. So I don't want a man to listen and be like, well, I just need to do black shirt and jeans. I don't want a man or a woman in any regard. I don't want someone to look. And you and I joked about, you've got like the beach hair today. I think it looks incredible, right. But you like, I don't want someone to look and be like, well, I need to look like Andrea. Talk a little bit about personalization on, you know, we're talking about maybe something I do or something you do. Talk a little bit more about how this is a personalized practice.
Well, like I said, the bar is, does it generate energy? Do you feel energized? Do you feel positive? Like, do you feel like, yeah, I want to go do my thing now? Like, and so that's it. It's whatever it is for you that makes you feel your best. That's what we're encouraging. So it is completely customized. I can't tell you what to wear to make you feel great. You know. And I'm just saying, trust what you know and get rid of all the other stuff just because it's in style or it's trending or it's whatever. Don't pay attention to that. There's so much noise trying to push an idea of who you need to be onto you. And quite frankly, the people we're all most compelled by are people who are 100% themselves. Mm. In my brand, the number one pillar of my brand and of my programs is called Practice Personal Authenticity. And personal authenticity is like when people come to me and they start the Shape Up Body Mind program, they come to this kickoff call and they think, okay, I'm going to get the diet and she's going to tell me the foods to eat and whatever. The first 45 minutes of this 90-minute call, we spend on who are you and what do you want your life to be about? And the first thing we define is, you know, personal authenticity. It is, that is a lane in life of between who you are and who you are not. We really nail that down because between those two things, however you define those, that is your best self. That's where you're going to operate at your absolute best, the highest frequency and vibration you operate on. That's where you're going to be able to give the most. And the more we can give, the more we'll receive. And, you know, so it's just a very, very important to figure out who you really are and then find ways to express that in everything you do, your choices of food, how you decide to exercise or move in the day, what you do for work, what you do for hobbies, what you, you know, just everything. You see how that works?
I do. It's, you're finding who you are. It's funny. I'm going to give her airtime again. So Rachel Jenks was a few episodes back and I brought her up in last episode and she's coming up again. Because in her branding, she has a fingerprint as part of her branding. And I just love that concept because each and every one of us have our own authentic, unique fingerprint. I'm curious to pivot a little bit onto Andrea's kind of fingerprint and to pivot away from maybe food or clothing and just into activities like of what you're doing right now. What is most awesome? What brings you the most joy? What lights you up the most? Like, what do you just freaking love to do and you're just blessed to be doing?
Oh, my work. I mean, to feel like I've discovered something so unique and so useful. And then like, you know, and then, but I didn't know how to be a CEO. I didn't know how to turn something into products or services. I didn't know how to, you know, try to get this out to people. As that starts to happen, and as more and more people get in the program, and as more and more people are thriving in life because of it, that is so rewarding. It is so exciting to feel like I get up every day and I get to do something that makes such a positive impact on other people. There is no greater blessing that my vocation is so deeply fulfilling personally. And that, like, I mean, I don't know. That's winning the jackpot in life, I feel like.
You won the jackpot. I love it. Let's go a single layer deeper. Is there anything specific, like microscopic? Is there anything specific about you've hit the jackpot? You love what you do. You love what you get to do. Is there a specific part of it that lights you up the most? Is it the mindset? Is it the dieting? Is it the personalization?
Yeah. It's that I always teach people, you know, curiosity. Curiosity is the cure for everything. Look at it. It's got the word cure in it, right?
I never realized that.
I didn't either. I'm going to have to write that down and use that all the time right here on this podcast. But like, you know, that is the cure for stress. Anytime, that's one of the biggest things, like I'm helping people understand. And so anytime, you know, life feels really challenging for me, that's the thing. I can never know enough. So right now, I've spent the last, I want to say, 3 or 4 years studying the brain, like a personal trainer, you know, like I have studied the body. Like, so, and I know what I know at this point. I'm pretty, but I'm still studying. I'm still learning the gut microbiome. I mean, these things sound so nerdy and geeky, but like, it's funny. That's what I do. And like 20 years ago, I'd be there in bed at night looking at like Grey's Anatomy, which is not a TV show. It's actually a play on a book that all medical doctors have. And it's literally these pictures, like so detailed of the body, like really trying to understand the body. Like I'm geeky like that. I cannot get enough information. Like I just love learning. And so I don't know. That's, I guess the layer deeper is that I can never know enough. I will never know enough. I will like, and that's great. You know, that's cool.
It's fascinating because even, and we won't go down the microbiome rabbit hole because we could do that for 5 episodes, but just learning about your gut, learning about how you operate personalized. Yeah. And how you change over time. It's really fascinating. Like there's no one answer because it's always it's an evolution. It's always evolving, right?
That's right. And that's why the practices, like whatever you put in place for, you know, yourself, your physical health, your mental well-being, have to be, it always has to be a discovery process where, okay, you know, you make the self-care scaffolding essentially, right? But you have to be willing to go to understand I'm a different person right now at 50 than I was at 40. And that was a different person than I was at 30 or 20 or 10, right? Like that we keep changing, and that what you've done is put things in place in your life to be able to discern when changes are happening and how to adjust with them, that we don't fight changes, that we welcome them as an opportunity to learn something else about ourselves or to, you know, keep finding new things, you know, solutions to things, like, you know, new is really the key. Yeah. When new is the key to joy in life, to life maximization, that we're constantly learning something new, we're constantly exposing ourselves to something new. And that's where we like stay really vital and vibrant.
Let me kind of put this together and tell me if it makes sense. So earlier we talked about how there's certain things like the coffee, the Keurig, you're totally present and you ritualize that as a moment just to detach. So there's things that you want to implement that might be ritualized and consistent, but then you also need that spicy new as well. So you have your consistent habits, and then maybe it's not 5 hours a day doing a new sport you never played before, but it sounds like you want your consistent habits, but you do want to spice it up as you go as well.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things we do in the program as well. And of course we deal with, like, you know, food and exercise and all that stuff, but I like to talk about the things that are unexpected. And one of the things I make people do is like list some things that you wish you knew more about. List some things that, like, some skills you have that you're competent, but that you wish you could do better. And it's about then making people whip out their phone and pull up their schedule. Okay, what hour this week are you going to devote to that thing? And helping people start to literally put into their schedule a time to be a student, a time to learn, a time to be surprised, a time for new.
Because a time for new.
A time for new.
I like it. I do that a lot, but in the same categories. So this is homework for me. I'm not going to go into all the similar things, and I'm trying to be the best at certain categories. Possibly it might make sense to learn something about something completely like figure skating. I've always thought it was beautiful and graceful. I know nothing about the technique. Maybe I learn a little bit about that. Or another thing is I want to learn parkour. That would be fun to do too.
Oh my gosh. I take my son to parkour every weekend. I want to really? Do it too. Yeah, but I can't get hurt because I make too many fitness videos. And like, I tell you, I live on my face. Like if there was going to be a play to fall, that's going to be me. Like it's, I don't know how I'm highly coordinated and yet I can be incredibly klutzy. So like, but parkour is awesome. Yeah, you should do it. You should do it.
Let's try it out.
Yeah, so, but that's, yeah.
Do you have anything else? I'm about to go to the rapid fire round. So if you have any thoughts on that, now's the time.
But that's awesome. Like to try to just expand yourself with like other topics and subjects and things, because not only is it new for you in that moment, it's connective. When you go to meet people, you find you have stuff to talk about that you wouldn't normally. That's beyond how's the weather or, you know, like bonding over what do you do for a living? Like you're like, hey, I just watched the coolest documentary on figure skating. Did you know that like the centrifugal force of one of those turns is more than a jet airplane? Or like, I'm making stuff up here, but yeah. You know, like that bonds people because now they're interested in you. And now both of you have serotonin shooting out in your brains. Like there's just interest in whatever. And then again, that's a pay it forward moment. So the more you learn about cool stuff, you get to then share that. In it helps anybody with social anxiety, but also it's just anytime you have something to share that's interesting, somebody else is now interested, and that is relieving for them. And that's one of the simplest ways to make a ripple effect in the world.
The ripple effect, it's coming up again. I love it. I am going to try parkour, and I'm going to come with some small talk about the microbiome and finger
love it.
Figure skating. That'll be the experience. But I want to save time for the rapid fire round. These are short, sweet. I start off with either or, then we'll open it up a little bit. But it's really just to get to know Andrea a lot better in the shortest amount of time possible. So coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Beer or wine?
Wine.
Cats or dogs?
Dogs.
Are you a morning person?
Morning.
Let's do favorite social media platform. If, I mean, I encourage people to go to the show notes and follow wherever they're most comfortable, but do you have a favorite?
I like my Instagram and I like my YouTube.
Instagram and the YouTube. Let's open it up a little bit. Ooh, I've never asked this. I've asked people who's your hero. I'm going to pivot a little bit. So you used to be, and you can answer who's your hero in a second if you'd like, but I want to pivot a little bit. I know you were an actress originally. When you were, who in the acting industry did you look up to as just a superstar you wanted to be like, and why did you look up to them?
Oh my God. Gosh, I haven't even thought of this in like so long. It's such a different life for me. Wow. I mean, I'm so lost on that question. This was a different era of actors who were amazing. Like, oh my goodness gracious. Probably. I mean, my gosh, you know, there are people like Robert De Niro or that were like Al Pacino or like some of the just incredible, incredible women. Annette Bening, you know, back in like, it's not current, but you go watch some of these films, like they're just actors that have such incredible depth and could jump into these roles that are just absolutely, I mean, incredible. Like I would just go like, I don't know that I could, I wondered, could I ever be that good? You know, they just disappear. And I really enjoy them.
I love it. Can I ask you one more big one? It'll be less specific. Proudest moment of your career, or give me a few, but when you think about the proudest moment of your career, of your personal journey, What's coming to mind?
Well, I'm going to give you, I'll give you one that it wasn't the proudest moment at the time, but I'm proud of it. My first class I ever taught was a step class. And if you know what a step was like in the early 90s, it's the bench and there's two risers. It's a very clunky thing that people would set up in the gym, you know? So it's at the studio. And it was a step class at a very busy gym. They had just hired me. I'd never taught a class before. And I went to teach this class. And I knew, I was like, I'm going to be a good teacher. Like, this is going to be great. So I'm teaching this class. And throughout the course of the class, 67 of the 75 people that were in that class left. 67. Now, in a step class, when you leave a step class and you're picking up your step and you're, I mean, it is obvious. And it's loud and it's distracting. It was horrible. It took everything I had not to burst out crying and to finish that class. And thank God. And there was this one woman in blonde hair, bob cut. I just remember I'm doing the class for her. She was into it. Well, so I was like, I don't know how this could happen. I was shell shocked. I went down to the gym manager after. She was like, how did you do? How was the class? And I said, they all left. Like, everybody left. There were like seven people, though. Like, it was terrible. And like, I was just, tears are streaming down my face. And she said, and she started to laugh and she goes, you know, she goes, do me a favor. She goes, next week, go sit in that class, just put a jacket on from the gym and have a clipboard and look like you're doing something official. And just go sit in that class and see the class. And then you come back to me and we're going to have this conversation. Go see what those people usually do on Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. So the next week I go and I see the class and then I come down to her. They did the same move for 1 hour and they just changed the arms. They just walked up on the bench and down on the bench and changed the arms. It is called basic step. And it is like, that's all they did for an hour. Like, they weren't prepared to do anything. And she said to me, look, I brought you into this club because I need to level it up. You can hold your own with the best instructors in New York City right now, and you've never taught a class. I auditioned you. I know you can. And she goes, I can't afford any of them. I can afford you. And I need to level up this club. She goes, so never teach down, like, or never dumb down your teaching for people. Just go slower and let people catch up to you and level up. And so that was one of the greatest mentorship moments of my life. And also a moment of perspective, like where I thought it was the worst thing ever. And it turns out, no, like just not everybody there was ready for what you had to offer so quickly. And then, you know, and just basically like, wow, I made it through. I just kept going, even in the most gut-wrenching 60 minutes of my life. Like, can you imagine? And then I did not quit. And it just makes me very proud.
I'm proud of you. You didn't quit. Thank you. And that was a powerful mentorship moment that now has allowed to create a ripple that we all get to learn from you and through that story, through that moment. So thank you for sharing that, Andrea. I've had an amazing time. I am grateful to have you. This has been a moment of awesome for me. Let us know one more time. And guys, it's in the show notes. It's very clickable. It's easy. But give us a verbal reminder as to how we can follow up and learn a little bit more from you.
Yeah. Check out andlife.com, andlife.com. And check out the Shape Up Body Mind program. Set up a call with me. Like, you know, just meet me. Don't be afraid of me. Like, it's awesome because I love to meet people and hear about what's really up for you. And, you know, and that's the best way. And then I'm on every social channel. Wherever you are, I'm probably there. So, you know, there's all sorts of different stuff in different places. So, you know, enjoy.
And thanks, Andrea. This is a whole other story. I won't get into it, but you've been doing badass things. And I was a little intimidated, and I feel like you became a fast friend easily. I encourage anybody to try to make a fast friend, reach out to Andrea, learn more, and we'll talk soon. I appreciate it.
I appreciate it so much. I love being your fast friend.
Thanks again. Thanks again for listening to Learn, Speak, Teach, powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. You need to go subscribe if you haven't yet. This show is completely free. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Leave us a review on Apple, Google Podcasts, or anywhere you listen to the show. All right. Thanks once more for listening to LST. I am so grateful. Talk to you soon.